The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I want to welcome everybody on this super special weekend with one of the great events of the year happening, and you are listening to it. This is week one of year five of the VanWee Financial Hour, and if you've got nothing better to do, there's some football on tomorrow, too.
That's right, there is.
Mm-hmm. It's so, a great weekend.
Unfortunately, the two wrong teams are playing, but...
Yeah, well, at least one wrong team is.
Yeah.
That controversy will be very slow to die.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it should be slow to die.
Yeah, no doubt.
The discussion now about how to cure that is interesting. Replaying 2 minutes or replaying a half or something.
Never happen.
You know, life's like that. Once in a while you get a bad call. And when it does, you get up and brush yourself off and go back to work, right? Hey, anyway, everybody, all the regulars, welcome back. Glad you're always here with us. That's why we come here. And, of course, we are live, which I think you have had proven already since we're talking about what weekend it is. But if you really want to be sure, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-TALK. It's 222-8255. And we will interrupt no matter what's going on and put you on the air. And we will discuss the things that you would like to talk about. So whether it's the market or whether it's how the politics affect the market, or if you want to know if you're inheriting money or just starting investing, or any topic in the world that you care to talk about, just pick it up. Anytime we don't know something, we will find out an answer. And right after the market wrap, I'm going to prove that by answering the question that came up last week that I did not have the answer to. But I promise, and I have it. And it actually makes some sense. So... it's nice when your answers make sense.
That does help.
Yeah, it does. What can you say? Best January since, what, 1987?
Yeah, I'm going to say jobs, and more jobs.
Mm-hmm. Although there's some cautionary tales that go with that, too, but we'll get to that later.
Yep, it was another good week. The jobs report was released on a Friday, and leading up to the report, the media was telling us that we were headed into a recession, global growth was slowing, the market was going to crash, the government shutdown was going to slow hiring.
And Trump's an idiot.
Trump's an idiot, earnings season was going to be terrible, and basically the world as we know it is ending.
And the tax cuts are done, there's no more effect of the tax
cuts.
More. That was a flash in the pan.
One-time deal,
yeah.
couldn't carry forward.
Yeah.
So none of that came true. Instead, the job report on Friday was the most underestimated report in the history of the report. The estimate was for 172,000 jobs to be created in January, but instead the actual number was 304,000 jobs created in January. That means the quote-unquote experts missed their forecast by 77%. Only economists and weathermen can get away with numbers like that.
Even in horseshoes, you're not going to win.
Despite the blockbuster number... the markets were not going crazy on Friday, mainly due to Amazon shedding almost 100 points off its stock, which is just over 5% because it's $1,600 stock. Despite having a record holiday season, and they had strong top and bottom line numbers, and pretty much all in all a great quarter, they forecasted their earnings to weaken in the quarters ahead. So I'm suspicious. I think they're taking advantage of a really good quarter. and lowering expectations so they can blow them out of the water this
and
year.
And Jeff is one of hundreds of CEOs doing that, and you can tell it by looking at the guidance.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't drop your guidance that much.
No.
When things are going like this, except for one reason.
I mean, it just doesn't.
You want to win.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because so many people are going to work and therefore spending, have more free cash flow, and they're spending it at Amazon.
Yep.
I just don't buy it. I call me skeptical, but I don't buy it.
Well, I've been arguing about this for months on the show, that the expectations people have gotten totally nuts.
Yeah, that's true.
They've raised the expectations over and over and over until it's hard to beat them. And then when you don't beat them, they come down on you for lying about it.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, but we're two can play that game, and they are. And when you look at the 3 months from now when the earnings season kicks in after Q1, you're going to see a lot of beat rate, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
My prediction.
Yep. Despite the flat day on Friday, the market managed to have a pretty nice week. The Dow was up 1.3%, the NASDAQ 1.4%, and the S&P up 1.6%. In 2019, the S&P is now up 8%, and the NASDAQ is up 9.5%. If you go back to the recent lows on Christmas Eve, which basically is just an extra few days tacked onto this year, the S&P has now rebounded 13.1% and the NASDAQ 14.7%. That is a pretty sharp turnaround. And we still haven't set any new record highs, but we're a heck of a lot closer than we were a month ago.
We're 1,887 points on the Dow from a new high, and that's 7.53%.
Okay.
Just on the Dow.
This turnaround hasn't been just in the U.S. either. We're seeing some solid performances overseas, surprisingly. I haven't said that in a while.
Mm.
Led by Brazil, which has gained almost 19% this year, emerging markets have posted a nearly 10% gain on the year. Canada is up more than 13%, Russia just under 13%, and China more than 10%. Even the stagnant European markets are getting into the mix, gaining between 5 and 8%. This is very strange considering that a month ago, the media was telling me that there was a global recession that was imminent.
Yes, and you were arguing that then how come the trade numbers are larger than ever?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. So don't look now, but commodities seem to be turning around from their recent slump. The commodities basket is up more than 8% this year, which has been helped by oil's 20% rise. Meanwhile, natural gas, which I can't figure out for the life of me how that trades, has slid more than 10% this week during the coldest week of the year.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. You would think the exact opposite, but
yeah, there's just so much supply right now.
And by the way, a polar vortex, is it just me, or did that just used to be called the winter storm?
there's that.
What? Come on. Jeez.
I've heard a lot of names. The polar vortex, somebody thought they invented it. They pulled it out of the 1950s, I think.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's winter. And you know what my forecast is?
Cold.
Getting warmer by summer.
Yeah. Unreal.
Hippy-dippy weatherman part two.
Gold and silver also got in on the action this week, gaining a little more than 1%. However, if you are worried about a spike in gold due to things that you think might happen in the economy, don't, because it's up just 2.5% this year. But it's definitely not a rush buying into gold.
No, it's actually got a nice chart.
Yeah.
Got a nice, gradual, slow upward chart, and it looks real pretty right now.
So the economic data was kind of all over the place this week, and trying to figure out what's going on in the national housing market these days could take an advanced degree in data analytics. It's all over the place. November new home sales were finally released after being delayed for the shutdown, and it showed a much stronger reading than the forecast. However, pending home sales was a big miss this month. Mortgage applications were down more than expected. Home prices are rising slower than they were. So what's going on?
Pretty much everything good.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Right. I mean, yeah, I looked over that list of misses, and most of that is just those same expectations going crazy.
That's true.
So, you know, it only in Washington, D.C., if something's supposed to go up 10% and they cut it back to 9%, only in D.C. is that a cut. Only in economics is that a miss.
Yeah, home prices rose at just over 5% instead of 5.5%.
And so, at 5.5%, it goes too fast, and you really don't want to be involved in that. So, anyway, things are good. We are going to have a trivia question. Adam has it as soon as we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour on Super Bowl weekend.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
So you need to find a plumber to replace your water heater. The question is, where are you going to look? Phone book? That got tossed in the recycling bin as soon as it hit your doorstep. Web search? Not unless you feel like sorting through an endless list of search results. And you're certainly not going to pay a subscription fee to get access to some list. What you need is someone to refer a local pro you can trust. What you need is home.homeadvisor.com. Home.homeadvisor.com gives you free access to a network of over 85,000 background check service professionals who have the expertise to help you with all your home repair and remodeling needs. It's the fast, free, and easy way to find top-rated local pros who've been rated and reviewed by homeowners like you. That's why over 25 million homeowners have trusted Home Advisor to find the quality home improvement professionals they're looking for. It's why you can, too. Visit home.homeadvisor.com to find the service pros who can bring your home improvement dreams to reality. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question today, which Adam has, is brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888.
So if you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard us talk about the FANG stocks, and that acronym is F-A-A-N-G. It stands for Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And the reason that we talk about it is they really drove the market in 2017, not as much in 2018. And what I would like to know is what percentage of the S&P 500's total market cap is made up of those five stocks. And I will take a number. Well, there's two numbers I'll accept, two whole numbers that will work because it's right in between
the closest
two.
Yeah. Integer either way.
Yep.
All right. Very fine. All right. We saw on Thursday morning a spike in initial claims for unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really very surprising given the fact that for the last month there was a partial government shutdown. Now, this is not something that impacts the government employees because they're actually getting paid even if they're not working. But it did impact a lot of government contractors because they stopped getting paid. And if I were a government contractor, I would immediately lay off the people working on that contract. And I believe that's probably what we saw.
Absolutely. And then they probably got rehired this week too.
Exactly. So. But meanwhile, the jobs numbers came in, and it was almost like it never happened.
Yeah, well, the initial jobless claims spiked from 199 to 253. Mm-hmm. 253 is still a really, really low number. So that is not concerning to me whatsoever. The number that you want to watch there is 300,000. If the if claims go over that, then maybe we would start to worry. But right now, the trend is clearly down around 200,000, and this is a spike that I expect to revert back to the norm next week or the week after.
Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, the government numbers were actually very good. That 304,000 was it really caught everybody off guard.
Mm-hmm.
But little noticed was the 90,000 reduction that they pushed back to December, and I'll tell you all why. Every January, the Bureau of Labor Statistics that handles all of this stuff does what they call population control, and I do not want to anybody to think that I'm a Robert Malthus fan or anything like that. Population control merely means that after 12 months of estimating population changes, what they do is they get a better feeling for it, and they adjust to what they believe is closer to accurate. So what that does is it changes January relative to December. And you can never take the January numbers with the same kind of veracity that you would for any other month of the year. But what I like to do is add up December and January and divide by two, because that change has occurred and it makes it more relative.
So that would be about 250,000 in this case?
Over 200.
Yeah.
And then I also like to have a validation when something really big is going on. And fortunately, the ADP company does their monthly private payroll survey, which came in for January 213,000, which is just about dead on. So I believe that December and January is a very accurate overall look at what's going on in the economy. And I looked all morning. I couldn't find any bad news in the economy.
I mean, there isn't very difficult. Much. There isn't much.
And the things that were down are up. Oh, sound like Al Gore, don't I? The things that were up are down. The market is rebalancing itself. Telecommunications was in the top three. Energy was in the
energy
top three.
Energy is leading the way.
Yeah. And those are things that were lax last year. But right before we came on, Adam and I were discussing the philosophy of modern portfolio theory, which, if you want to put it in a nutshell, says diversify your holdings. You never know when a little market shift is going to happen. Something that was so unpopular, which telecommunications were for how many years now? About four? I can't remember the last time people liked them. All of a sudden, they're going crazy.
There is no telecom sector anymore. It's communication services,
right.
And it is up the third most of any sector this year, 11.36%.
Yeah, they did a good idea. It didn't occupy enough weight. Basically, they had Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T. And they wanted more representation in there, because any one of those that had a good or bad year could really impact the index. So, all in all, there are times when you think you can do nothing right, like 08, where everything went down. Mm-hmm. Everything. And you think, man, and then, of course, you'll always read during the latter stages of a period like that, you'll always read things that start this way. Is modern portfolio theory dead? And everybody jumps on the bandwagon and says, oh, yeah, it's going to be a stock picker's market now for the rest of ever, but you can only expect returns of 4 to 7% forever. And it's, then a year later, they're write the stories and said, hey, modern portfolio theory is still working. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Adam and Steve.
How are you?
Okay. Great January. What do you think of February? I mean, historically, February's not been a great month.
No, it hasn't. And I would say if we can creep along, we had a couple discussions in the office this week, and Adam and I said, well, we've got about half of December's carnage back. All the portfolios are back around 50%.
Yeah, roughly.
Of the loss from December. And we think it might take through the end of March to get back closer to whole. I frankly don't want it to go up at the pace that January went up anymore.
No, and I said the same thing last January, mm-hmm. and look what happened. It immediately crashed in February. But I don't think we're looking at that same scenario this February, but I don't expect February to be a great month.
No, I don't want stupidity to follow stupidity, and I firmly believe that December was stupidity, and January was just getting the overshoot back.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we might be in for a steadier and more sane market for a while.
But hey, what do we know?
Yeah, nobody knows for sure, but But what are you thinking, Chuck? You got a feeling for it?
It sounds about right. I mean, what I'm thinking is it's going to be consolidation, a month of consolidation.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah, that's a good term for what's going on right now, I think. And there's one thing that I really liked this morning as I was reading through all the show prep materials. The bullish sentiment dropped about 7 points this month, and that is the best news ever. Whatever people think, they're wrong.
They put that on Investors Business Daily, the sentiment readings. Uh-huh. What day of the week does that get published?
I don't know. I usually pick it up until the weekend when our gurus have consolidated all our data for us. So we usually read it on Saturday morning. It's down around 31.7, I think, right now.
Actually, it's pretty even split, bullish and bearish sentiment.
Yeah,
right
it's about
now.
A third, a third, a third again. So I like that. You know when it gets up in the 40s and 50%, you know something bad's going to happen because mom and pop are buying 100 shares or 2 shares or whatever, and they're always wrong, too. So I like it just the way it is. We're in the Cinderella moment, as far as I can tell. We're just stay the course. Do what you do.
Well, this is what it says on IBD. It says the Bulls versus Bears Weekly Survey of Newsletter Writers is published by Investors Intelligence. And right now it's at Bulls 45.8%, Bears 20.60%.
Yeah,
that's a little bit different.
They're sampling a little bit different population, obviously.
And what we're,
I'm not sure exactly what the source of ours is. But these people we use are the primo statistical people in the market arena, and they're not cheap, but they're certainly worth it. So, I don't know. You're only as good as your guesses. You look back and see what the predictions have been over time, and you know you got to temper everything with your own personal look around. What do you think is going on? Does it make sense with what I'm reading? And sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. So, we'll see.
It's possible if we get a trade breakthrough deal with China could be a sell the news type situation because of the market's trajectory. I mean, we've had this V-shaped recovery, and I don't know. Do you think it would be a sell the news
by the rumor? I think what you'd see is an initial positive reaction. I don't know that I'd sell on it though. Now that's a tough one. Is it? You notice they're kind of greasing the skids for this thing. You notice that the little tidbits that are coming out over the week?
Yeah, it's happened for 4 weeks now.
Uh-huh, you see the Chinese people and the American people sitting in the White House in their negotiating room. Everybody's smiling and having a good time. It looks to me like we are being prepared for a nice little agreement, I guess I'd say, and the market is going to love it when it actually gets done. Now, will China live up to it? That's maybe when you want to sell the news.
Fair.
Yep. It's hard to say. But we're optimistic right now, as we generally are.
I am, too. I mean, I think it's setting up nicely. And, if we go sideways in February, I think a lot of us would be pretty happy.
I'd be very happy with that.
We can keep what we got. That's a big deal to me.
So. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Time will tell, won't it?
So, Chuck, what percentage of the S&P 500's market cap is made up by the FANG stocks?
My guess would be 12%.
You got it. It's actually
really?
12. Yeah,
that's a pretty good guess.
Yeah, it's actually 12.8, but I was going to take 12 or 13.
So. You have his address on file?
We do.
Okay, but in case you don't hear from us, that'll mean we don't have it. But Adam's pretty good. He keeps records of everything. Nice job.
Okay.
Very Thank good. You got a dog in the hunt for this weekend?
No, I really don't.
I don't either. I hope the Jaguars win.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. You have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to have to take a break, and I'm going to answer the W-4 question as soon as we get back, because there were some changes in the tax law, and we had last week what I thought was an extremely intelligent question about a topic that pretty much impacts all of us, and sure enough, there was an answer, and I got it. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the VanWee Financial Hour on Super Bowl weekend.
AM AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Ralph Northam's days as governor of Virginia appear to be numbered thanks to a racist photo in which he appeared more than three decades ago. The appearance of the photo yesterday prompted virtually every Democrat state lawmaker and key ally to poll their support and urge the Democratic governor to resign. The calls came late yesterday after Northam apologized for appearing in a photo in which one person is dressed in blackface, another wearing a full Ku Klux Klan uniform. He did not specify which of those characters he was playing in that photo. President Trump is only the latest chief executive to deliver his State of the Union address at a time of great turmoil. Others may have had it worse. In fact, Abraham Lincoln delivered a written State of the Union report during the Civil War. Richard Nixon made his final State of the Union speech while embroiled in Watergate, and Bill Clinton gave one just weeks after he'd been impeached by the House in the very same room. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We were asked a question the other day about a store's reputation and how a customer might judge that. The first thing that came to mind was to look at how long they've been in business. Because if a store or a person is disreputable, that word will get out fast and that business won't be around very long. The second thing that comes to mind for jewelry stores, if the store has been in business a long time, there'll be a lot of folks in the area wearing jewelry from that establishment. And if they sell fine jewelry, you can best bet that those pieces have been shown thousands of times and probably passed down from one generation to the next, and a lot of people have been told where that piece came from. At Underwoods, it's our stated goal to be the best jeweler in the South, not the biggest, so everything we do and carry has to move us towards that goal. And ultimately, it's satisfied customers wearing our jewelry that have kept Underwoods in business since 1928. So come by and see us in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, February 8th at 8 p.m., it's Laughter and Reflection with Carol Burnett at the Times Union Center. Saturday, February 9th, starting at 7:30 a.m., it's the 26.2 with Donna Marathon in Neptune Beach. And Saturday, February 9th at 7 p.m., it's the Jacksonville Icemen versus the Orlando Solar Bears at Veterans Memorial Arena.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
And there is a crash at 295 South at the ramp from Blanding Boulevard. That on-ramp left lane is currently blocked. As for the weather, looking for cloudy skies next couple of days. 60% chance of showers today, 20% chance tonight and tomorrow. Looking for a high today, 65, down to 54 tonight, and up to 67 degrees for your Sunday. It's currently 60 right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. This is Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And on the phone, we have Devin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, boys.
How are you today?
I'm happy. I'm just wanted to thank you for the advice you had given me about calling the Social Security. Now, I'm 63, and I thought I had to wait till I was 65 or whatever for my Social Security. Mm-hmm. And you had told me, well, you know, no, I didn't have to wait that long. And if I apply, I can get half of my husband's Social Security benefits, is great.
Uh-huh. It is,
and so
it is available, although somewhat reduced, but it's available if you're 62 or over, and if you're looking for cash flow, why not?
It was great advice. From the moment I called, they said, "Well, your money will start from this day."
Mm-hmm.
That I called, and even though it was like 2 months later before I could have the meeting with them, which was a phone message, I mean, on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Well,
good.
Just makes me happy.
Yeah, and yeah.
Yeah.
People don't know. That's called a restricted filing.
Yep.
Where you're not filing on your own benefits, you're filing on your spouse's benefits. People don't know these things exist, and they don't know that it isn't going to hurt you. It does not reduce your benefit that you've accrued over your lifetime in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Well, it depends on the day you file. It reduces what you'll get,
yes.
But it doesn't reduce your benefit level.
No, it doesn't reduce your actual benefit, but it will reduce when you hit full retirement age. You will not get your full amount. You have reduced that amount by a few years.
All right, let's take
8% a year.
Well, listen, guys, honestly, I've got cancer and you know, I'm not going to live 100 more years. I might as well collect now.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is great. And listen, Adam, I want you to tell your father I love his voice and he sounds just like him.
I'll let him know.
Yeah, he won't tell me anything like that. He's afraid I'll get a big head.
You guys. I just
love it. Thanks, Devin.
Thank you, and I'm so happy. And the reason I'm doing this whole series on Social Security is it's so complicated, and unless you know what can be done, you don't have an idea what to do. And we never told you to file. We told you to ask, and you did, and look at that.
I called, and from that moment that I called, even though it was going to take 2 months before I could get an appointment with him, my money started from the day that I called.
Isn't that nice?
My collecting. And I could have been collecting for over a year now.
Yeah, but you're going to make 8% more because you waited this long.
That's right.
So you look at the bright side of everything, and you're looking good.
Well, it's great because I get half of my husband's pension, which is very great.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's great. Thank you.
You need the money now. Take the money now. That's the first rule.
Yeah,
money sooner is better than money later. More money is better than less money. Fundamental rules of cash. So,
well, it sure
there
is.
You go. And you're not going to lose a lot of it to taxes if you're living on Social Security. So that makes it even better.
Oh, that does make it better. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
A pleasure.
I love your show.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend.
Bye-bye.
All right. In the old days, when you were planning your taxes, you went to your employer, and one of the first things they'd hand you would be a W-4 form, and that said, how many exemptions do you have? You were one. Your spouse was one. If anybody was blind, that was one. If anybody was 65 or older, that was one. And each kid was one.
And what did that do? Explain what that did.
Well, that changed the withholding on your paycheck. And it did it by estimating the amount of your income that would not be taxed due to personal exemptions.
Right.
So our very erudite caller last week said, what are we going to do now? There are no personal exemptions. You can't count them. And I said, very honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I know IRS addresses issues like this, so I'll find out and tell you. Well, IRS addressed it. On February 28th, 2018, this is dated. They did it before. They altered the old one. They did the new one, but I hadn't had the question before. So here's what happened, because the law itself didn't apply until the tax year 2018. So it was the 2017 form where you're predicting your income for 18. So this form now, if you're going to look forward for the year 2019 based on what happened in 2018, here's how you do it. It is still called the W-4. It's the 2018 Form W-4, Employees Withholding Allowance Certificate. See how that, there's no word exemption in there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It had, there had been a notice on it, but you could still use the old one for 30 days. But now this new one is up and running. So IRS also has a calculator that goes with its Form W-4 so that you can judge for yourself based on other factors using the new increased standard deduction, no personal exemptions, increase in the child tax credit, so you have to list your children, limited or discontinuation of certain deductions, and it changed the tax rates and brackets. So it, all the new law has been consolidated into this calculator. So get all that available. Go online, get the calculator. It's not something you report to the IRS. It's just something that you work on. And then if there are changes needed in your W-4 to reflect the new reality, then you can go ahead and use the new Form W-4 and reflect it. So if you want to not come out owing money, or if you don't, if you want to not come out getting a whole big refund where you're giving them a tax-free loan, but you're trying to project a little bit better, I would do that. But if I were you, I wouldn't necessarily do it till I see this year's tax return, which is the 2018 tax return that's due by April 15th. The reason being the effect on your own personal situation, unless you really understand this law, may not be very clear to you. And if you make a big mistake one way or the other, you're probably going to regret it. So I would take the information from my tax return, then go to IRS and say, I want the W-4 calculator, input all the numbers, and see how your withholding as is going to apply to 2019. If it needs changing, fill out a new W-4 and give it to the employer.
Yeah.
Or if you're a quarterly filer, of course, you just adjust your own quarterly payments.
In general, if you get a big refund from the government, that means that you're withholding too much on your taxes. Mm-hmm. So you would want to then increase your what used to be called the exemptions. Mm-hmm. What is no
it's
longer
now allowances.
Allowances, yeah. And vice versa, if you end up owing money, you need to increase your withholding, so reduce your allowances.
So an excellent question gets a relatively easy answer, and
yep,
off we go. So good. All right, dumbest headline of the week.
Man, this one is so good. It's so dumb. I had to read it. I've probably read it over 10 times. I couldn't even
believe
it. And
I had found it independently and laughed my rear end off.
And it's not actually what it says.
No.
It's a concept. What it's implying.
Yeah.
So the headline is actually, Fidelity's average retirement account balances dropped. The reason why may surprise you. And it might surprise you if you're a complete idiot. That's
what it should say.
Because, yes, in the fourth quarter of 2018, the average 401k balance at Fidelity dropped from $106,500 to $95,600. Why do you think that was? It goes on to tell us that it's because the market went down.
No kidding.
So
you mean people invest that money in their 401ks?
So,
who knew?
So they're saying that it might surprise you that in the fourth quarter, the average 401k balance went down. Well, guess what? The market was down almost 20%, so no kidding.
I could write a headline for today saying the average account balance at Fidelity went up in January.
Exactly.
And the reason why might surprise you.
Yep. So, yeah, the average account dropped about 10% in the fourth quarter. Shocking.
Yeah. And depending on the mix of assets, we've been noticing that our average people are 8 to 12%, something like that.
Yeah, or less, but more like 5 to 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on how conservative they are.
Well, we had a great example yesterday. We're comparing two accounts side by side. One ultra conservative, one a risk taker due to a large age difference. And guess what? The risky one moves about twice as fast as the non-risky one.
In both directions.
Isn't that incredible? In other words, modern portfolio theory works. Every time it's tried, it just takes time. That's amazing, folks. It's just amazing how stupid some of these things you hear will be. All right, we got a few more things to cover after the break. I'm going to read one more headline that it's just unfathomable, but what the hell. Then I'm going to tell you about the baddest boys in town and how big this was and how to avoid it for you. So don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour and Super Bowl week.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-895-8035. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this particular segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. Spring is on the way, according to Punxsutawney Phil this morning. It's going to be early, so get it lined up unless you want to do it yourself. You're kind of, you know, more ambitious than I would be. I'll put it that way. All right, my favorite dumb one this week. China crashing. Is the U.S. next? China's growth rate dropped to what, 6.1?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
From over 7.
If we ever got to 6.1, do you know what the Fed would do? Probably bump the interest rate 3 points overnight to slow down the overheated economy. If that's crashing, give me a couple of quarters of crashing, please. Martin Weiss said this, whoever he is. And he goes on to say that we could follow. Thank you for your analysis, Mr. Weiss.
Yep. I had one, too. So apparently Bernie Sanders was feeling left out of the money grab that has been going on by the Democratic candidates for...
Me too.
Yeah, I want to come up with the worst idea to steal money from rich people.
Exactly.
So he has proposed a estate tax of up to 77% on billionaires.
77%.
And yeah, that would be basically the, if you die and you've been successful and made a lot of money.
And paid a lot of taxes.
And paid a lot of taxes, you would then just hand it all over to the government. Mm. Makes sense to me.
Sure. And every billionaire that dies would contribute that, and the government would spend it in about 6 hours.
That's about
you
right.
Think I'm kidding? Figure it out.
No, that's about right.
All right. Bad Boys. I know Howard loves to do these. Speaking of which, congratulations, Angela, on your new grandchild yesterday. But federal court has ordered Woodbridge Group of Companies, LLC, and its former owner to pay $1 billion in penalties and disgorgement for operating a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme. Now, who would do that? The fellow's name is Robert Shapiro, and he was fined personally and the companies and all that. What they did, they are paying substantial penalties because they operated a $1.2 billion Ponzi scheme that defrauded 8,400 retail investors nationwide. That means individuals rather than institutions and 401ks and all that. 8,400 individuals of $1.2 billion fraud. Many of them, and you all know this is where it really gets me, many of them seniors who had invested retirement funds. That is the lowest of the low when you're taking the retirement funds of the seniors. That puts you in the Lydia Klaidek model of people I would hold up as the example of how not to do life or anything else. So what's going to happen? Well, according to the SEC, the settlement provides for the return of significant funds to investors.
Notice it doesn't say all.
Doesn't say even
most.
Nope. Doesn't say half. It says significant. It's like those people who advertise for their little life insurance schemes and so on, and the equity index annuities. Investors make a reasonable rate of return. Okay, can you please look up reasonable and define it to me? I prefer numbers because that's the kind of guy I am. Anyway, the liquidation trust that they're forming will actually pay some of these people. What is my point here? This does not have to happen to people. There were also charged 18 of Woodbridge's highest earning unregistered sales agents who had sold more than $400 million of its securities to retail investors. All you have to do, if you're looking at putting your business somewhere, like VanWee Financial, which is where it belongs, you go to brokercheck.finra, F-I-N-R-A.org. And when it pops up, there will be a little tab, search by company. Type in VanWee Financial, hit return, and what pops up but a little box that says Stephen H. VanWee LLC, doing business as VanWee Financial. And then there's a little box under that that you check, and it takes you to the SEC website where you can find Adam and Steve and our registrations. We are registered investment advisors. We're state registered because we're small enough not to have to do FINRA. I would have no objection to it. Either one works fine. But we are there, and we are registered. 18 unregistered people, and nobody went to broker check. And we're not talking about having to be a stockbroker. That's any investment advisor who's registered for any reason with the SEC, which if you're going to do any business, you better be. It's just mind-boggling to me that all these people go there with hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't take the simple step of going to brokercheck.finra.com. You don't have to be a victim, people. You just don't have to.
And to give you an idea of who these people were that got caught up in this, they interviewed one. Her name is Eileen Fruit Handler. She's a Florida school teacher and widow. She stands to lose $50,000 that she invested with Woodbridge. And she said, "I'm really shocked because I asked the guy who sold it to me, I can't tell you how many times, whether it was secure."
Oh, but what she didn't ask him was, are you a fiduciary?
Mm-hmm.
And if he said, yes, I am, then you go to brokercheck.finra.com and prove him wrong, and then you go to the SEC and file a complaint. It's just that easy.
Correct.
You don't be a victim, people. Listen to the show. Take the best advice we'll ever give you is not to get burned. That's absolute truth. All right. Talking to Devin a few minutes ago. She's 63, and her husband is older, so she filed on half of his because he had already started collecting. What is your full retirement age? It is not 65 necessarily. If you are at full retirement age of 65, it means you were born before I was. But it changes, and it changes on a sliding scale. And these were all the things that were put in place back in the 80s, I mean, where Ronald Reagan and company gave people like me, who were young then in my 30s, they gave us about 25 or 30 years to know that we aren't subject to the same rules that our parents were subject to. They gave us decades to plan for this. And what happened was, if you were born before 43, you're already drawing because you're 70. If you were born before 1955, your retirement age is 66. If you're born in 55, it starts to get just a little bit longer. So every 2 months, 66 and 2 months, means you were born in 55, and then 56, 66, 4. So you add the 2 months until you get to a birth year of 1960 or later. And at that point, your full retirement age is 67. So right now, there is no person on earth that has to go past 67 to reach full retirement age. However, it is still true that if you delay every year, you get an 8% increase for the rest of your life. That's not done annually. That's done monthly. So if you are born such that your age is 67 and you wait 6 more months, you won't get 8% more, but you will get 4% more. So every month you are not claiming benefits, it tends to go up a little bit. But when you start thinking about full retirement age, remember that it's something of a moving target depending on your birth date. But once you plug in your birth date, it doesn't change. Now, my long-term prediction is there will be another one of these things done because the system is going broke and we're going to have to delay it. The reason is very simple. Y'all are living so long.
Yep, it's true.
Modern medicine and good nutrition and all that stuff, we're living a long time. You hear about declining birth rates. You have to listen to what they're saying. The American male's average life expectancy has gone down for 2 years in a row because it factors in things like fentanyl.
Opioids.
Yeah, and it factors in things like wars. Take out those people who are subject to the early ones, and the average person is living longer and longer. Plan accordingly. You must have a lifetime income that is significant enough that it will not run out in your life. And before you start investing your money, the first discussion you ought to have with your advisor is, how do I get, or will I have, enough lifetime income before we go into all the fun things you can do in the stock markets and so on. It is a planning thing. If your broker can't talk about anything but investing, can't talk about Social Security, ploys, things like that, then I suggest you go to a registered investment advisor. And if I had to pick one, I think it might be Van Lee Financial.
Oh, that's weird. I would agree.
Sounds like we're a little biased, and perhaps we are, but what the heck. We like it. Business has been good. We're starting off year five on the show. We're just about to start year five in the business, so come and see us. It's a lot of fun. We'll see you next week. I hope your team wins if you've got one. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.